As participants in this church, we are in a living covenant together, one that we experience and commit to in our hearts and bodies, as well as one that is written down. Our written covenant asks that we be kind and compassionate, that we support and nurture others, and that we listen to understand rather than to prove a point. One powerful way we live into this listening and into the congregational covenant is through our bodies, through our physical experience of life and relationship. We are not disembodied heads, after all, despite the fact that someone might say that about some Unitarian Universalists. We privilege reason. We demand intellectual rigor in our religious life. But we are not only creatures of consciousness. We are embodied, beautifully embodied beings, and our bodies tell many stories. Our relationships to those stories, to our own bodies and those of others, is rarely easy or without conflict. But despite the conflicts we have, the judgments we have about ourselves and others, our bodies still tell stories of joy and power. For example, my body, my very big body, loves yoga. When I began yoga, I could not get up from the floor without the help of a strong person or at least a sturdy chair. And now in class, 3 or 4 times a week, I bend and stretch and push and pull and get up and down from the floor many times. Being aware of the life of the body and its strength and possibility is making differences in my life in ways I never imagined I could have. The body carries joy and empowerment. The body can also tell stories of family, whether biological, adoptive, blended, or chosen. When my biological grandmother lay dying, I saw that her translucent, blue-veined hands were my father's hands. And I looked, and they were my hands. When my father died, I saw the shape of his hands in my own again. And I am the only one left with hands that look like these. Often I find myself considering my hands, their shape and strength, their considerable dexterity and meatiness, thinking of my father and his mother. The body carries family. But stories of fond family memories or striking empowerment are not the only stories our bodies tell. For example, my body, my very big body, holds stories of bullying and street harassment even now. It tells a story of hearing that I am a beached whale who doesn't deserve to live, who was never meant to survive. It holds stories of ongoing physical and emotional pain, of aching knees and tearful eyes. The body carries pain. But there are also painful stories of the body that we do not tell, do not hear or acknowledge because they feel too painful, too scary, or just too different from how we think life should be. One kind of body story we don't often hear is the story of the lost pregnancy, the lost hope of having children, the lost child. Embodied stories of these losses, so much more common than many of us know, are often hidden. My friend Rebecca's baby died 2 weeks before her due date. The anniversary of Emily's death is days before the anniversary of her birth. And when Rebecca came back to work after giving birth to her still child, there were people uncomfortable with her grief, and they turned away from her in the hallways in silence. She was not heard. She was not listened to with understanding. Other hidden stories of the body are of domestic and sexual violence and abuse, often hidden by generations of suppression as well as by cultural collusion. These stories hide in the corners of survivors' minds for years, even decades. One friend of mine from high school got nearly perfect grades, was wildly popular, ran track, sat on student council, and was molested by her father for 10 years. And that abuse manifested later in what her body carried: post-traumatic stress disorder, a life-threatening eating disorder, and the inability to this day to hold a job or enter into trusting, intimate relationship. These are painful stories. And bodies of people we know, those we don't, and our own bodies carry them. But these stories can also become stories of wholeness and empowerment, of reclaiming our strength and identity. We find in the storytelling, and especially in the story hearing, that we can move together toward wholeness. But if we only listen by projecting our own experiences, our own assumptions, then we run the risk of losing relationship and ultimately standing in the way of justice. Projection, though, can sometimes be countered by the courage to keep speaking, by remembering Audre Lorde's admonition, "So it is better to speak," remembering we were never meant to survive. And one community that has learned to speak in the face of oppression are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans folks. We have also learned that friendly, gentle inquiry can lead to new community and welcome others into safe space. The coming out story, right? The coming out story is the quintessential story of the LGBT community, and it was just National Coming Out Day the other day. The 11th, right, I think? It is coming out, the learning to understand and then daring to share the stories of our bodies, our hearts, our desires and loves, and it is one of the most powerful storytelling traditions in contemporary life. The body's story of love and longing, change and transition, the body's stories of shame and pride. There are so many queer stories. Some are of harassment and violence, it's true, but some are stories of welcome, of embrace, and the opportunity to deepen relationship. And my mother, bless her heart, gives me one of these stories to tell. My lesbian body, age 17, was crouched in a dark dorm room talking on the phone. I was hedging. I'm not going to come home for dinner. I have too much homework to do. But my mother knew what was going on. And she said, Katie, that was my name then, you're gay. And I replied, well, yes, no, sometimes, yes. It's fine, she replied. Come home and have dinner, won't you? That was it. Embodied stories like this one, stories of being embraced by love and welcome, liberate us. Our body's stories resist injustice and oppressive prejudice just by being told and heard. I tell my experiences with yoga, not only because I love yoga, and I really do, but because I know that the story challenges stereotypes of who can do yoga and how fat people can get physically fit. Stories are a justice-seeking matter. How do we listen with that in mind? How do we listen, as the covenant says, without the intent to judge or prove a point? And how do we avoid projecting our own pain, our own stereotypes, our own prejudices onto other people's bodies? How do we do that? That's a hard question for me. It's really hard not to assume we know better than others. If I ruled the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's hard not to assume that others should be the way we think they should be. It's hard not to assume that they want what we want for them, that they believe about themselves what we believe and feel the way we think we would feel in their bodies. And I am as guilty as anyone else of projecting my own judgment onto someone. When I was in my early 20s and ruled the world and knew everything, a young woman told a story of her body's pain. Hers was a body struggling with anorexia. She talked about how she got positive attention for losing weight, even though her disease was killing her. This attention, this positive attention, was frustrating and painful as she tried to recover. I dismissed her story out of hand. What does she know about pain? She's thin and beautiful, after all. I'd like to look like her. She could be fat like me, and then she'd know what it was really like. I projected my pain onto her, and I regret it deeply. Because I longed after a fantasy of being thin, I did not hear and I did not listen. I don't remember whether someone else heard. I only remember that I could have responded differently. I could have responded with empathy, right? Because after all, I struggle with my body's looks. I struggle with other people's responses to me, people's beliefs about how I should be or how I should look. In the final analysis, that young woman with anorexia and I were much more similar than we were different. We are all more human than otherwise, Gilbert reminds us, but I didn't remember that day. I could have been mindful that her story was her story, not mine, and that her body was not an invitation for my judgment. I could have listened to understand and not have made her story a funhouse mirror reflection of my own. As we practice loving listening with one another, we minister to one another. 1,500 people can minister to 1,500 people much more effectively than one small staff can minister to 1,500 people. And as we practice this loving listening, we will hear the voices of more and more bodies. Disabled bodies whose disabilities seem apparent on the outside, and bodies whose disabilities are invisible, inaudible until we listen. We will hear from ill bodies, children's bodies, aging bodies, strong and fast and enduring, flexible bodies, bodies of different colors, places, and cultures. And we will be challenged if we listen. And in the challenge, we will be changed. We will, if we listen hard, hear the voices of poor bodies who are struggling to survive in a culture where healthcare, childcare, and meaningful work are shamefully hard to come by. And it must be said, we will listen to stories like mine, stories from fat bodies that our culture tells us are lazy, unhealthy, gluttonous, and therefore immoral, and of course, impossibly ugly and undesirable. But no one's body should be cause for others' judgments. As our first principle calls us, we affirm and promote the worth and dignity of one another. As our congregational covenant calls us, we listen to one another. As human need and our own generous hearts call us, we love one another, remembering we are all more human than otherwise. When our individual lives are changed, our community cannot help changing. When we listen to the stories of others' bodies, we open the door to beloved community just one more bit. And bit by bit, we love one another better. We listen better. And our congregational community becomes a community of beloveds. You, me, and everyone else. Blessed be. Will you join me, please, in a moment of prayer? Spirit of life, holding our bodies in being from birth to death and beyond, we come to you with all we are, all we have been, and all our bodies' matter ever will be, spinning into the eternity of the universe. Help us draw near to our own bodies and so to one another. Let us seek the truth in love, listening deeply to one another and to you. Amen.